mornings on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah.
Happy Being Alive Day, everybody. It's a Tuesday morning around here, September the 12th, 2023, and we appreciate you joining us. Coming up this hour on the show, we are stunned to a news. Although just by watching last night's Monday Night Football game, we were all stunned to a news. In 40 minutes, Miami's win over the weekend. They proved that they are back. But last night, if you're just getting up with us, it was one of the most bizarre football games in recent memory, with all of the expectations, with all of the hype, with all of the conversations surrounding Aaron Rodgers, the Jets, Hard Knocks, Super Bowl droughts. The glory lasted four plays. Four flipping plays. Four flipping plays. Aaron Rodgers ran four plays, then got tackled from behind. His ankle planted wrong, got caught in the turf maybe, got rolled under by the defender, whatever it was. He was done for the rest of the night, done for the day. And after the game, you had Robert Saleh admitting it does not look good. We fear it's an Achilles. And if it's a ruptured Achilles, then he's done for the season and he's nearly 40 years old and you don't usually come back. I mean, is that it for Aaron Rodgers' Jets career? As in his career in general, does a 40-year-old come back from a torn Achilles? Maybe because you're Aaron Rodgers. Let's hope it's not that bad. Again, I'm not a huge Rodgers fan these days. I used to be. I found that he's turned quite self-indulgent, and I think he's a bit of a phony. But I certainly didn't want him to get injured. I wanted to see how this season would unfold, and I wanted to see if he had more magic left in the bag. And who knows what this looks like. I mean, I don't want to zoom ahead a year from now and presume to know what everybody's going to be thinking, but a 40-year-old coming off an Achilles tear, that's a steep hill to climb just to play football, let alone play good football ever again. So that happens in the first series of the game. Okay, emotionally, the Jets fans are completely out of it. The stadium is dead. It's silent. It was the most eerie, weird night at MetLife. Now, I can tell you from personal experience, MetLife is not a great experience as it is. It's a big, generic tuna can out there in the swamp. Giant Stadium, the precursor to MetLife, might not have been Lambeau Field, but it was tighter, it was closer to the action, it was noisier, it had a vibe. I don't think MetLife has any vibe, and it's really hard because it's kind of spread out. The seats are spread out. It's not, there's nothing in it that helps out sound. There's nothing in it that kind of like pushes fans close to the field. It's just a big, generic, charmless tuna can. And when something like this happens last night, it becomes silent. I've been to that stadium when it's just silent. When you can't get any cheer, any crowd, any energy. That's what happened last night. And so this was a chance for essentially the Bills to win a neutral site game. Once Aaron Rodgers went out, it was like playing in, you know, a neutral site bowl game or something. It wasn't even as festive as a bowl game. It was like, you can go to your practice facility and win this game now. And these freaking Bills and freaking Josh Allen messed around, and finally gave the Jets life late with four turnovers, all of them crushing, and ultimately had to survive just to get to overtime with a doink on the game-ending field goal in regulation, only to have to punt it overtime, and the Jets run the punt back for a game-winning walk-off touchdown. It was just ridiculous. The entire thing ridiculous. And by the way, Garrett Wilson's touchdown catch is insane. Somehow, with his right hand, he wraps himself around the corner to tap the ball away from the corner, and then as he's falling down to the ground, tap it back to himself and grab it with both hands and keep his butt in in the end zone. It was just insane. But for the Bills, that's an unacceptable loss. It's a completely unacceptable loss. Listen to the mistakes last night from Buffalo.
Looks at a four-man front. There's the snap. Here they come. There he goes. Line drive, far side. Picked off! Picked off on the far sideline by Jordan Whitehead, number three!
Yeah, I mean, mindset-wise, just trusting what I see and sticking with it and not trying to force anything. And it's a good defense we played, but, you know, we can't play two guys. Can't play them and us, and I played us tonight.
We made it, honestly, pretty hard on ourselves. We had turned the ball over four times. It's hard to win in this league, and you're playing two opponents, the one on the other sideline and yourself, and that's what we did tonight.
You heard Josh Allen, Sean McDermott, and that was Kevin Harlan and Westwood One. This one should make any Bills fan sick. Really sick. Because they don't even get an ugly win out of it. They don't even get an ugly win. Had Josh Allen thrown a bunch of interceptions, the team lost a fumble, they never put away the Jets, but they survived, you'd be like, okay, a lot to clean up, but at least you got the win. That's all that really matters in route to a playoff berth or winning the division. You don't even get that. That one was served up on a platter for you. The Jets had no business winning that football game. And the most alarming thing, and, you know, our wonderful affiliate in Buffalo is going to talk about this all day long. They probably already are. And that is, when's too late to start to keep hoping that Josh Allen changes? When has it become too late? Because Allen obviously has amazing attributes, big arm, big and strong, runs like a deer. I mean, Allen's physical abilities are so evident that he makes throws and makes plays nobody else in football can make. But it doesn't really matter if on a night like last night, he just keeps chucking it to the other team. And after the game, when Josh Allen was kind of beating himself up about the turnovers, part of that's like, cool, good. He gets it. He's not deflecting. He's owning it. He's frustrated. On the other hand, when he says, same bleep, different year, man, that's alarming. Because that means he's aware he should be better. He's aware by this point he should not be doing the things he's doing. And when he said that, it was almost like it's out of his hands. That he's not even responsible for what his arm and his brain do. And when I heard that after the game, I was like, oh no, 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 no. Man, you are the most important cog in the machine. And you cannot act like you're not in control of your own mistakes, your own decisions, your own growth. And I think Josh Allen's a good dude. I think he wants to do well. He's embraced the mantle of being the quarterback up there. He wants to break this drought. He wants to be the guy. All of that's great. But I mean, you can't come out of that game with all of those mistakes and be like, yeah, man, I'm frustrated. It's same crap, different day. For me, I'm doing the same crap on a different day. That it's like, are you powerless to change it? The Bills have this awful habit of gagging away wins. And Sean McDermott took over a program, took over an organization that needed structure, accountability, and professionalism. They had been without it for a long time. They didn't have one guy that you could count on since Marv Levy. And McDermott came in and cleaned up a rec hall mess. It was a disaster. Mashed potatoes were on the walls. Gravy was on the floor. Soda was spilled all over the place. Sporks were stuck in the ceiling. And he came in and he cleaned that up. And so now the lunchroom, the rec hall is clean. and people come in and out on time and nobody fights and everything, but there's still something missing. And I think this team may need a different coach to finally get where they want to get, which is a Super Bowl. And look, Sean McDermott didn't throw those passes last night, so I'm not throwing all the blame on him. Most of this is on Josh Allen. But why do the Bills keep looking the same exact way every year under McDermott? They're good. They're talented. This year, they'll win 10 games. But you can't lose last night. That's an unacceptable loss. That simply is unacceptable in every way. The Jets were dead. The game was over. The stadium was silent. That game cannot be a game. And for whatever reason, the Buffalo Bills keep doing this. Screw around, screw around, screw around until something really goes bad. And that's what happened last night. On Twitter, DA on CBS, Squishy Liquid, trashing the sports gods, the black cloud they've put over New York. Both baseball teams spend and stink. Yankees bring in the Martian, and now he needs Tommy John. And then week one is the most stunned I have been to an opening weekend. Hashtag trash them.
Overflowing landfill.
Mac and Bear from Delaware. Good morning, guys. I heard Mraz's fight on New York's radio station live. Trash the caller that argued with Mraz. It's really uncalled for. Hashtag trash him.
It's the landfill. Overnights in El Paso.
Mario. JD is trashing anyone who bought a Rodgers Jets jersey. Guy played four snaps. Hashtag back to the dark room retreat.
Totally gross, dude.
Hobbit House. Hobbit House stuff. Kevin tweets, from Mraz openly sobbing about special stuff on this show to him screaming at Dallas fans, what a difference a year makes. Yeah, I'd say. We thought his cholesterol and his heart was under duress when he worked with us, but now it's a totally different ballgame. Citrus Thorn says this is the same crappy artificial feel that tore Nick Bosa's knee a few years ago. They're still talking about it in the Bay Area here to this day. Trash the MetLife turf.
That's just offensive.
I hate that stadium. I hate it. They spent $1 billion to build a tuna can that has no soul, no personality, no luxury items, and a bad artificial turf. It's just pure garbage. It's the biggest waste of $1 billion you'll ever find. I was thinking to myself, what's a worse football stadium in the NFL these days? And MetLife's only about a decade old. Well, maybe a little bit more. Maybe 12 years old or something?
Yeah, 2010.
All right, so 13 years old. It's a bottom 10. It was built within the last 15 years. It's a bottom 10 facility in the NFL. It is awful.
Dia, how about I give you stadiums and you tell me if MetLife Stadium is a better stadium than that?
Yeah, I was doing this in my head the other day. Let's do it.
Cleveland Browns Stadium.
See, I've never been there. I was thinking about this one. My guess is it's almost a tie, but probably Cleveland's a little bit better. Have you been to a Browns game out there?
No, but it seems like it's a tremendous atmosphere. You're right on the, you know, you're right on the lake. So I guess, you know, weather-wise, it could be harsher, but the stadium itself, it looks like a pretty run-of-the-mill average stadium.
Yeah, I would say edge goes to Cleveland. But like you said, I don't know if I want to be sitting on the lake in December. But yeah, let's go edge Cleveland.
What about Empower Field at Mile High, home of the Broncos?
Not as great as Mile High used to be, but still edge to Mile High.
How about Gillette Stadium in Foxborough?
It's a push. I've been to Gillette. Gillette gets a little bit of an ad, a little bit of a bonus, because it's unique. In some ways, they have the lighthouse, although I guess they took out the lighthouse, and they have a bit of an open air side, so the wind was able to kind of come in, and you could look out to the plaza outside, and, you know, the parking's a disaster. MetLife's a way better parking situation, but I don't think there's a lot of character at Gillette Stadium, but Gillette is also 20-something years old now, so it's way older and built way cheaper than MetLife, but it's the same type of bland stadium, although they just got an upgrade of the Jumbotron. Largest outdoor Jumbotron in the NFL is now at Gillette Stadium.
I think I'll give you one stadium that maybe MetLife is better than, and it was only because we saw it on social media the last couple of years, like actually falling apart, FedEx Field in Landover.
Oh, yes, that's a good one. Yep, FedEx is older than MetLife. That's correct. FedEx is probably the worst facility in the NFL. So, yeah, MetLife has that going for it. It's better than the worst facility in the NFL. It's awful. It's really awful. Iron Man Sean tweets in, live look at DA on a Tuesday morning. My daughter loved seeing the cat, and he has Mr. Evil petting his pussy cat from Austin Powers. Yeah, I'm doing the home show today, and Rosa the cat usually gets up with me when I leave the house right after 4 a.m. every single day, and she jumps into the bathroom as I get ready so that she can rub up against my ankle, and she wants a little bit of food in the morning. I usually give it to her, then head out. But today, she's loving it because I'm home, so she comes down to the home studio, and during the second commercial break, hopped into my lap, and we actually did sound check with Rosie the cat on my lap. So by the time we got to the third clip and Mraz fighting with Mario on WFN, she left. She was like, I'm done with this. She's like, I like Mraz better on your show. I said, thanks, Rosie. And then she just skipped out the door. So
yeah, Rosie, something tells me Rosie's not a fighter. She's not a fan of of the fights.
No. She'd rather goof off and eat chicken and dry cat food. When we come back here on the show, we've got Stunned to a News coming up here, so stick around for that. And it's a Trash Tuesday, so as always, let us know what is bugging you.
Elon Musk has 69 on his shorts.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Tuesday morning to you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Last night's Monday Night Football game goes down in history for all the wrong reasons. So glad you're with us. You can always watch the show on YouTube or on Twitch as well. Also at watchda.com. The Rodgers injury is so weird because after the tackle, he actually gets up and then he kind of falls back down again, realizing he can't put any weight on it. So it wasn't some dramatic pop of the Achilles. And then suddenly he's like, oh my God, it feels like my leg's been shot out from under me. He wasn't in tears. He wasn't, you know, thrusting his head back. I mean, he was pretty composed as he got on that, you know, the little motorized vehicle, the cart, and then went into the tunnel and went into the locker room. He just seemed very composed. And so it did not seem like it was traumatic. And yet here we are, you know, however many hours later, less than 12. And the fear is his season's over within four snaps. Rodgers' season could be over within four snaps. And yet the Jets found a way to win. It's all so insane. The hidden pickle is trashing the Jets for not calling Gardner Minshew the second Rodgers went down. Zach Wilson cannot take over this team again. He's the definition of Trash Tuesday every time he takes the field. Hashtag get him the hell out.
Is Oscar the Grouch living in there?
Well, don't think the Jets aren't this morning scrambling for answers. I don't know if they had to call Gardner Minshew last night and we have to kill him if they didn't. But I can tell you this, there are already odds out via Bet Online for the next Jets quarterback to be signed or traded for. Nick Foles leads the way at 3-1. But that doesn't make anybody feel better. Then Colt McCoy at 4-1. Taysom Hill 5-1. Davis Mills 7-1. Carson Wentz 8-1. And Cooper Rush 10-1. By the way, if you were wondering, Tom Brady is 20-1. Could you imagine that turn of events? The most amazing thing that could happen this year is Tom Brady coming back for the New York Jets, subbing in for an injured Aaron Rodgers for a one-year go at it. That would be the only way we could spice things up even more.
Right after they retired his number at Gillette, too.
That's right. Dixieland Dan is trashing Sundays, waking up early to get to yard work out of the way. And Saints kickoff is at noon here. At 10 a.m., the wife says, let's go eat brunch, and we have to go grocery shopping. I think everyone in Oxford, Mississippi was at El Charro's and Kroger. Thank God for YouTube TV. Hashtag trash that.
That will contribute to the microplastics in the bottom of the ocean.
By the way, speaking of Sunday brunch, I want to give Moose a big wave and a hat tip. Moose has been a longtime listener, and he took over, actually created the Instagram page, Football Food of the Week, Up the Gut. And he had made Mraz's football food recipes every week throughout the football seasons and posted on Instagram about how they were and graded them out. And he's just amazing. Unfortunately, Moose was unable to do it last year for personal reasons. And then this year looks like he's going to do some spot duty. So he's looking for other D'Aliens to post what they made, etc. And I can tell you, I actually took a page out of one of our D'Alien's recipe books this weekend for my football food of the week. And I'll post the video on Instagram today about how I made it. But we heard from one of our listeners about something called swamp honey. And I was like, this sounds really good. Now, I kept calling it swamp butter mistakenly. And then when I was making it at home, I kept calling it that. Around the Bourbon Bell and AJ. So she's like, what are we doing? Swamp butter here? That doesn't sound so appetizing. But I'm like, no, it's going to be good. And anyway, I got this recipe from the listeners. You take honey, okay? Then you add Louisiana hot to it, hot sauce, some brown sugar and butter, a little garlic butter if you want. I just used straight butter. And you cook it all in a little pot, a little skillet or whatnot. And now you have something to drizzle all over your meats. And so I just thought, this sounds delicious. So I took some chicken wings and chicken, like the really big chicken drumsticks, really, and chicken thighs, and I threw them in a crock pot early before Sunday morning football, around 6 a.m., 7 a.m. I let them cook through Sunday morning football, which I was done at around noon. And then I took them off, and then I threw them on the grill so that they were soft on the inside, and then they had that char on the outside. I took them off the grill, and then I put them in this butter, in this swamp butter. And it made me feel like I was a real Emeril Lagasse around there. You know, I felt like I had a little bayou in me, like swamp butter, hot sauce, swamp butter, hot sauce. And then I put in a big aluminum bowl, and I tossed the wings in there, the chicken drumsticks and the chicken thighs. I just tossed them in this swamp butter. Swamp butter, hot sauce, swamp butter. And then I made some homemade coleslaw. Not everybody loves mayo in the coleslaw, so just a little dollop of mayo, but mostly just fresh cabbage, mayo, and then some apple cider vinegar. Mix that up. Boom. You got it to cut the hot butter, swamp butter, hot sauce, swamp butter. And then I added a little cornbread. I got some cornbread mix in a box. And made that, and that was ready to go within like 35 minutes. And so we had swamp butter chicken thighs. We had homemade coleslaw and some cornbread. That was pretty damn good. It was pretty damn good. And so I'm going to tweak the recipe on the swamp butter, but I think it's a winner. Now, the thing is, mine was a little too honey forward. And so it kind of feels like you're just drenching your stuff in honey, which is tasty, but there's only so much you can eat if it's tossed in real honey. So I need to be more butter and a little less of the honey, more the hot sauce, I think, because it gave it kind of a buffalo kick, but pretty freaking good. So football food of the week, so we're off and running. And Moose on the Instagram, Up the Gut, thanks, buddy, for sticking with it. And can't wait to see what you post from the other listeners out there. And Kristen in Buffalo, you know, she's got her thing, Beef on Weck Pizzas. We've got AI Mraz cooking stuff up as well. AI Mraz gave us pulled pork over peach pie, which I purposefully scripted as being the most disgusting thing ever. And yet both Mraz and Bogish thought it was delicious and they wanted to eat it right away.
Asinine.
And I was like, wait a second. That experiment is the opposite of what I thought was going to happen. But Yeah, Mraz said he would eat it right now. And Bogus, you were not being sarcastic there. You felt like Carolina pulled pork over peach, hot peach pie was actually appetizing.
I still don't understand any other take on this. Now, I mean, I guess that there's room for being, okay, fine, like indifferent to it. But I'm not sure how you don't think those two things together aren't delicious.
My intention was meat and fruit don't go together. So I just figured that it's automatically disgusting. Like you don't put a hot dog on an apple. But I don't know. The way that you described it, you're like, nah, they're both sweet and they both kind of can work together. Well, and
I mean, let's hold on a second on the meat and fruit don't go together. One of the best things about Thanksgiving is the leftover turkey and cranberry sauce and stuff sandwich. So that's a fruit and meat combination. Okay. I do like a sandwich that's got like turkey and Swiss and maybe sliced apple and a little like Dijon or something on there. That's a good sandwich. Well, all right. There are some combinations here. And plenty of barbecue sauces have fruit ingredients.
That's true.
No, folks, because you know what you just described? You just described two light, white meats, turkey and chicken, that can go with fruit. You don't put pulled pork with fruit. You don't do it.
I disagree completely.
All right, why don't you make it? Why don't you make it then?
I will absolutely combine it. I'll buy some pulled pork. I'll buy a peach pie. It'll take me 3 seconds. I'm not going to make it from scratch, but I'll put them two of them together in a second.
Why don't you do it with some swamp butter, hot sauce, swamp butter? You got that stuck in my head now.
Only if DA comes to my house and makes it and just says that the entire time as he's standing at the stove.
I've got to be wearing some like LSU gear. No, really like Louisiana Lafayette, some Raging Cajuns gear.
Yeah,
you got to have a pipe.
Yeah. Now, Boge, you're going to need some more swamp butter and hot sauce, swamp butter.
That's Luke Bryan's next top single.
Dad, folks, what's wrong with Uncle D.A.? Don't ask kids, but he's making swamp butter, so just get ready to enjoy it.
He's been watching a lot of SEC Network. Swamp butter, hot sauce, swamp butter. All right, Bogues has headlines this morning.
And guys, let's remember the real victims of Aaron Rodgers' apparent season-ending Achilles injury. That's the Schwartz family. Last night's spread, I'm sure, ruined in less than 5 minutes. Repurposed Rodgers jerseys, not needed for now. Papa Pete has already weighed in on Twitter, quote, "I've never been so miserable after a Jets win, #TakeFlight." He also demanded that Woody Johnson and GM Joe Douglas, his close personal ranch friend, go out and get a veteran QB because the rest of the roster deserves better than Zach Wilson. However, hold on, wait a minute. It was Wilson that helped the Jets win last night after losing Rodgers on the fourth snap of the game.
That doesn't matter, folks. The kid sucks.
He was trying to avoid a Leonard Floyd sack. Dwayne Brown, the left tackle, didn't get enough of Floyd with his chip block.
I'll talk to him at halftime. I'll reach out to him for sure.
What'd you say at halftime?
Just told him I love him.
Brown kind of missed the block. Rodgers apparently held on to the ball longer than planned, too. He'll get an MRI today to confirm suspicions of the season-ending torn Achilles. But again, Wilson played basically the whole game. It wasn't always pretty, but it was a win thanks to this.
Low snap. And getting away, a line drive kick is Sam Martin. Gibson runs under it at the Jet 35. Starts to his left. Gets to the 40. Turns the corner at the 45, 50. Blockers in front at the 40. At the Bills 30. Inside the 20. Stutter steps to the 10. To the 5. Touchdown! It's a Jet touchdown! This game is over!
It is the worst win ever.
That clip made MetLife Stadium on a wet Monday night in September sound like the loudest arena. It sounded like the Colosseum in ancient Roman times. I mean, that sounded like the beams were going to break off of MetLife and fall to the ground. That was such an amped up crowd. It was not that
was like
loud.
It was like when the Lions rip the guy in half, rip his body into pieces. By the way, Bogus, I just asked Kevin Wall to turn your computer volume down a little bit because I think you just blew out my eardrums.
That's Bob with shoes in, man. You can't turn Bob with shoes in.
No, it sounded loud because I think that the computer volume is at 100.
I couldn't help you with that. I'm sorry to bother you, though, Boyle.
We'll just have Wall pull down that a little bit, but that's hysterical. Like, that made it sound like it was a kick return for the AFC Championship game to go to the Super Bowl. It was like most people just kind of hanging around and be like, oh, when is this game going to be over?
It's a 22-16 overtime stunner for Gangrene. 4 Josh Allen turnovers contribute to the Bills' disappointment. Chris Jones' holdout in Kansas City is over. The D-lineman of the Chiefs agreeing to a new contract for this season. Incentives can reportedly make Jones more than the $19.5 million he was scheduled to make. Michigan State football coach Mel Tucker issued a statement yesterday to again deny that he sexually harassed Brenda Tracy, a sexual assault awareness advocate whom Tucker brought in multiple times to speak to his team. However, some of Tucker's statement did contradict what he told investigators hired by the school in recent weeks. Michigan's governor among those criticizing the school yesterday for only putting Tucker on unpaid leave Sunday when all of this became public. The Milwaukee Brewers with a 12-0 rout of the Marlins last night. That was a complete game shutout for Brandon Woodruff. The Brew Crew stays 3 games up on the Cubs in the Central. Chicago a 5-4 win at Coors Field. The A's, for now, avoiding loss number 100, 4-0 in Houston. The Astros' AL West lead on the Rangers drops to 2, with Texas winning in Toronto 10-4. The Rangers now have the last AL wildcard spot this morning because the Mariners lost to the Angels 8-5 in 11. And the NBA is reportedly close to toughening their player rest policy. Anybody that made the All-Star game or an All-NBA team over the last 3 years will be deemed a star player. Only one star player will be able to sit out per game. Star players should not miss national TV and in-season tournament games. And there should be balance between home and road games missed, with home games the preference from the league's perspective. Oh, nice. And now, we're getting sunned?
Woohoo!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
And we are stunned today courtesy of one Tim Doyle. And DA, maybe in here there is a metaphor for the battle that Sean is currently fighting. Maybe he's the possum, maybe he is the orangutan in this story. We're in a zoo in Australia, and this possum climbs into the orangutan closure, much like Sean has climbed into the local sports radio world. And this particular primate grabs the possum and flings it out of its home.
No.
And all of this happened in front of zoo-goers and on camera.
Oh.
So you can watch video of this frisbeeing possum being hurled out of this enclosure by the orangutan, and hear people freaking out while they're watching it live. I guess this is entertaining. I guess maybe some sympathy for the possum, the victim here, but I might have chuckled when I saw it heel-toeing over the head over heels, frisbeeing through the air.
Well, the thing is, this is it's a raised enclosure. So
yes, they're at the very top of it is where this went down.
Yeah, so I've never seen anything like this. Whenever I've gone to the zoo and checked out the primates or the monkey house or whatever like that, they're always on the ground. They're at eye level. But this one has a big structure on a big pole or whatever and some type of landing pad up on the top of it. So the orangutan climbs all the way up this thing and is in, I mean, this has got to be 20 or 30 feet in the air, right?
Easily, yeah.
Easily. And then you just see a possum get flung from this and soar through the air, ass over tea kettle, and then get, you don't see it land. But, I mean, it's a toss. And I'll tell you this. Primates are really strong. I think people don't realize how strong gorillas are, chimpanzees, orangutans. This arm, honestly, the Jets should reach out to the orangutan for...
smart.
This guy's got an arm. Look at how far that possum...
That was... He's got a cannon. Hold the phone. Like, and I don't understand anybody even remotely getting upset about this. Possums are the most disgusting creatures on earth. One, two, this is nature playing out. Nature versus nurture, DA. Nature always wins. And that was just a majestic work of beauty, watching that orangutan launch that thing.
I think this is more like Darwinism than nature versus nurture, but your point's valid.
That was like an Olympics-level discus throw.
It reminds me, DA, what did we have one time on like a doorbell camera of like a dad like wrestling a wolf and then flinging it, and we went back and forth on how impressive the throw was? There's no debate about this throw.
It was not a wolf, because he says
it was a raccoon.
It was a southern accent.
It was a bobcat.
Bobcat, that's right. It. Bobcat. Swamp butter bobcats. Hot sauce bobcats. That's right. It's a bobcat.
Morgan Wallen's number one song.
He has to grab it off of his wife's leg, right? It's a bobcat. And he grabs it and flings it. It's a possum.
Swamp.
Honestly, Zach Wilson did not have a throw as good as the orangutan did.
Swamp butter bobcat, hot sauce bobcat, swamp butter.
Now we're doing Sling Blade.
We just need a fourth. We've got the three. We need a fourth.
Mashed taters, I
there
guess.
There you go. Mashed taters. Or something about booze. Something about booze or something like that. And then moonshine. There you go.
Bourbon barrel.
Moonshine, swamp butter, bobcat, hot sauce.
That's the worst shopping list ever.
That's a hit single. That's literally a hit single.
Boozy broad, bourbon barrel.
That's swamp Dixieland butter, Dan's Amazon sauce. Wish list.
By the way, after hearing that on through the speaker, his Alexa just ordered everything on that, and it's being sent Prime tomorrow. It'll show up at Dixieland Dan's doorstep. Oh, what's this, Dan? Swamp butter? Okay, bourbon barrel? Did you order a bobcat? You got hot sauce?
Moonshine?
Moonshine?
It's the Dixieland gift basket.
It's just so insulting.
No, the best thing about Dixieland Dan is he's rolling over this. Yeah. He's like, you guys would have no idea.
I got it yesterday. He's
like, all right, so all you Yankees hot up there up north, get yourself a kiddie pool and pour as much pond water in there as humanly possible. Now, you think you might get some type of fungi or disease? You just pour a little whiskey in there. It'll kill everything. And then you just bathe in it.
Dixieland Dan is in fact loving this.
Yes, he's the best. I love Dan. Do we still have Stephanie in Calgary on the phone?
We do.
To go to on the trashes. All right, Trash Tuesday. Steph has called in to trash something via Calgary. Steph, good morning. Steph, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, hi. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. What do you want to trash?
This morning, I'm trashing the capitalistic structure of sports radio. They have caused a lot of disgust in my life this year. I need to preface that respectfully, I don't follow sports. My husband does. And sports radio is constantly on in my life. Yours was actually show that I started following. Then I added Pat McAfee's show. It's pretty bro-y, you know, camaraderie is delightful. At some point, I got emotionally invested in a big announcement that came. Checked in every day, wanted to hear it, couldn't wait. Finally, they make the announcement, and bam, I have Pat McAfee rapping in my face. Bud Light, drink Bud Light, got Bud Light. Like, there are so many levels selling out here that, honestly, I just mess with the show anymore. But
okay, we're going to let you go here, but thank you very much for calling. It was really hard to understand that. I was getting like once every fourth or fifth word. I think she was trashing the capitalistic structure of sports radio, which I definitely wanted to hear that theory. But so let's trash that.
Totally gross, dude.
And Steph, maybe you can call back where it's a little bit better of a connection, because Did you guys grab what she was saying there? Some local show went off the air. Pat McAfee was rapping in her ear. Is that what she said?
I think She Loves Us was the moral of the story somewhere in there. But I would suggest maybe emailing the trash so we can see it typed out and we'll just read it for her.
Yeah, I caught there was a big announcement and then they cut away from it. And then all I heard was Pat McAfee rapping Bud Light. Gotta have Bud Light. Pat McAfee. And that was it.
Gotcha. Well, you can email us, damon.amendolara@odyssey.com, or if you have Twitter, or if you have Facebook, send us that, because, I'd like to know the full, and if you appreciate the show, I certainly want to say thank you to that, but I couldn't really quite catch what the trash was. When we come back here on the DA show, is it finally time for Hurricanes fans to feel good and do well? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm so bad with mail anymore. I used to be great with mail.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember the days when we were all so great with mail? Oh, yeah. Rip through that stuff. Open up that mail. Take it out. That envelope didn't stand a chance. Put a stamp on the mail you're sending out. Flip over that flag on your mailbox. Oh, yeah. Remember, the DA show is available on your phone. You can stream us using the CBS Sports app or the free Odyssey app. Last night, the story of the day, obviously, is Aaron Rodgers getting injured last night within the first four snaps of his career with the New York Jets. Absolutely devastating. We're waiting to see what the severity is, but many are bracing for the worst that Aaron Rodgers is done already after four freaking snaps. In college football, lost in the win by Alabama or by Texas in Alabama, and lost in the attention that Deion Sanders is getting, was that the Miami Hurricanes put up 48 points against a ranked Texas A&M squad to move to 2-0. And Tyler Van Dyke, who has certainly had his fair share of oopsie moments, went for 374 yards and five touchdowns in the 48-33 victory at home over Texas A&M. Now, I don't want to declare Miami back. We have done this many times over the last 20 years. Is this the team that puts Miami back in the national spotlight? Is this the team that Miami finally turns the corner with? Can Miami finally win the ACC? I mean, they've beaten Miami of Ohio and Texas A&M. They've got Bethune-Cookman coming up here and then Temple. So, I mean, who the hell knows what they really are until we hit the ACC schedule? And even then we might not know. They do have a trip to Chapel Hill to take on UNC, followed up by a home game against Clemson later on in the season. They've got a trip to Tallahassee to take on Florida State. We'll figure out something there. But, I mean, again, in the ACC, you don't get really challenged much. And A&M might just not be very good. But the fact that Miami, in just year two behind Mario Cristobal, can take a non-conference team out of the SEC and beat them up and put up, 48 points on them, that is significant. And I think that should be noted for Canes fans looking for reasons to be optimistic. That certainly is one of the reasons to do so.